that, ain't we? Amen. All right. Let's get into scripture here a minute, and we'll give you a chance in the service. Anybody else has something on your heart? And let's look at this. Physically, I don't think I can go real long unless God touches me and gives me one of them three-hour, amen, spiritual shots in the arm. But I want to give you a few things tonight. We've been making our way through this psalm, and so let's pick up down here. We've made our way through this historical psalm all the way last week, where Israel, the people of God, are getting ready. In fact, we got them into the Exodus. They're on their way out. And verse 38 is where we ended. It said, Egypt was glad when they, that's the people of God, when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. Notice verse 39, and we'll spend some time on this verse this evening, and I'm going to draw this psalm to a close this evening, far as I know. The Bible said he, speaking of the Lord, he spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. He remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. He brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness and gave them the lands of the heathen. And they inherited the labor of the people that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. I love how this psalm ends. Praise ye the Lord. And can I remind you, he's still worthy to be praised. Even on a Wednesday when we're a little bit physically weary, our minds is maybe bogged down with some things we've been through the first few days this week or things we know's coming up these last few days of the week, God is still worthy to be praised. And so let's get our minds headed in that direction. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, help us now as we study the Word of God. We'll thank you for all the help you send. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. And just quickly tonight, just by way of rehearsing and remembering what we've studied thus far, we understand that this psalm, the theme of this psalm, is simply to commemorate the faithfulness of God toward Israel, spanning many centuries of their history, and from that of Abraham, the days of Abraham, to that of their entering into the promised land. And one thing that stands out is that God was faithful. We'll see that very directly tonight. And one of the points we want to make, that God was faithful to them. And Israel was not always faithful to God. That will shine through in Psalm 106 as we begin that, and Lord's willing, next Wednesday night. And they were not always faithful to God, but I'm thankful in the order of the Word of God that before our unfaithfulness is taken into account and viewed, and it must be, I'm thankful that before all of that, Brother Larry, God's faithfulness is first of all emphasized. And I'm glad this evening he's faithful when I'm not. He, amen, is everything that he said he'd be. When I'm not everything that I ought to be, he still remains the same in our life. And so Psalm 105, simply put, we're emphasizing what is being emphasized to say that this psalm stands as a reminder and a testimony to all God's people, even to our generation, of God's hand in our life. One thing that shines is this psalm takes on the historical accounts of the people of God in that old economy, from Abraham to the promised land entrance, is that there is an unseen hand of God at work in every character, in every change of season, change of one leader to the next, one group of people to the next. One common thing that is found in all those centuries is the hand of God is at work. And so we're preaching that with the thought in mind of this psalm, God's hand in man's history, God's hand particularly in the history of our lives as the people of God. And as his children, I'm glad God's hand is always at work in my life. and look back over it, and so many times God should have left me to myself. And so many times God should have abandoned me, and God should have withdrew himself from particular seasons of my life, but spanning the years that I've served the Lord, the years that I've been saved, the years that I've tried to walk with the Lord, one thing resounds and is evident. That is, God's hand has been at work in my history. I am where I am tonight because of the hand of God that has led me all the way. Amen. And I'm getting way ahead of myself already, but I'm glad. Amen. God's hand is seen in our history. And so we're looking at some ways throughout this psalm that reveal how God's hand was in Israel's history and is in our history tonight. We studied in verses 8 through 11, understanding the first 7 verses are the introduction of this psalm and are given to call us to rejoice, to request, to remember, and ultimately to recognize that the Lord our God is indeed the Lord and in charge of all things. And so what are these ways that God's hand is revealed in our history? Verses 8 through 11, we see that it is the Lord who found them. The Lord found them is preeminent in Israel's history. They were not looking for God. God came looking for them. God found them and God called them, and they wisely were obedient to the call that God put upon the life of Abraham. God commanded him to come out and to leave the land of the Ur of the Chaldees, forsake his father and his kindred, and that God was going to lead him somewhere that Abraham didn't even know existed. And how Abraham, through his own free will choice, began to follow God and embrace the God of heaven. It was the Lord that found Abraham and introduced himself to Abraham and made changes in Abraham's life. Ain't you glad the Lord found us one day? I don't know where he found you. I know where he found me. Amen. I know where I got introduced to him at. I know where he called me by name. I know where I was when he came my way, found me, and changed my life. So we said, we see here the Lord's hand in their history. Amen. It was the Lord who found them. And then we looked at the thought, verses 12 through 15, the Lord fenced them. And after he has found them, they are in a time here where they are small and they are strangers. And in those early days, how silly it was that even Abraham, that great patriarch and father of the faith, was as great a man as he was, and then we view him to be, how silly he could be in those early days of his life. And even though they were small and they were strangers in a strange land, and they were silly at times, a man lived at times with little to no faith in God at all, trying to do it in the arm of the flesh. And yet it was the Lord that fenced them and kept them intact and intervened in times that, amen, they were making decisions that would have ultimately destroyed them and left the promises of God to no effect in their life. Amen. It was the hand of God that hedged them about and intervened in their life. Amen. Sparing them from utter destruction. I would remind you and I again tonight, it is not our wit, it is not our own wisdom, it is not our own strength, amen, that has led us safe thus far in this journey. Amen. We ain't big enough. We're not, amen, we're not acquainted enough or wise enough or educated enough or been through enough experience, my friend, to have made it this far safely on our own. Amen. But we have a Lord that has fenced us about. Amen. And thank God for his protection. And then in verses 16 through 24, we looked at the fact that the Lord favored them. That in their time of going down into Egypt, in that time of famine, in that time that God sent Joseph before them, to prepare a way for them, how God through Joseph and because of Joseph brought blessings to the children of Israel, and how, my friend, God has favored our life not for our sake, Amen. But for Jesus' sake, we have been favored in the land in which we're living in. I hate to think about what I wouldn't have or what I would have had it not been for the favor of God in our life. And I love that point. I love that part of the psalm. It's helped me personally probably more than any of this. I'm thankful God has favored me, and what we got to go through to get to God's blessing sometimes. Amen. Doesn't make sense along the way. We can't see the blessings of God. Amen. But I'm glad God's hand's there all along the way. Amen. And you'll reach a point in your life sometime down the road you look back. Amen. And all those obscure times and all those times you didn't think God was even there. Amen. Or couldn't understand what God was doing. You'll be able to look back on and go, oh, I see it a little more clearly now than I could have ever seen it in the moment. And that is the favor of God upon our life. Amen. We looked at number four, the Lord freed them. The Lord freed them, verses 25 through verse number 38. As that brings us into the time of Egyptian bondage for God's people, how these worldlings had come to a place to despise what God was doing in Israel and sought to shut down those favored blessings of God upon the people of God's life. And yet we find that God again is faithful to liberate His people. He will not let the world exercise dominion over them. Amen. And destroy them and to wipe them out and leave them brokenhearted and to leave them bound to their ways. I'm glad that the Lord knows how to liberate His children. Amen. From this worldly system in which we live that seeks to bind us. Amen. That seeks to destroy the blessings of God upon our life. Amen. That seeks to destroy anything good and anything spiritual, anything moral and wholesome in our life. I'm glad we have a God that, my friend, knows how to deliver us. Amen. From this present evil world. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. And if you're saved tonight, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. How we find ourselves in this system. Amen. Doing things we know we ought not do and don't even really want to do. And yet, amen, we find ourselves all messed up. And we find ourselves pleading as Apostle Paul in Romans 7. Amen. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death and find ourselves, amen, having to say there's only one way that we can be liberated, amen, and it won't come through even our own desire. I ain't saying it's void of desire, and it's not desire alone. It is, amen, it is through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, and our faith in Him that brings victory over the world in which we live. Amen. Understanding all that is in the world lieth in wickedness. Amen. This world is not your friend. I don't mean to bog down and preach here. Amen. But this world and all its system and all its philosophy, amen, is designed to bind you, not liberate you. Amen. But God would have us free. And Jesus said, amen, whom the Son hath made free, they're free indeed. Amen, I'm glad along my spiritual journey, God has freed me from, amen, a lot of worldly ways of thinking or a lot of worldly activities and things that had bogged me and bound me down. Amen, I look back and I see God's hand in my history. Amen, liberating me and setting me free. Amen, and so the Lord found and fenced and favored and freed them. And that brings us now to verse number 39 for a moment tonight. And we'll spend most of our time here, and then I'll bring this psalm to a close in a hurry. Amen, I want to say tonight, number five, if you're taking notes, that in this psalm of Israel's history and God's faithfulness, we see the Lord forewent them. The Lord forewent them. In verse number 39, here's what the psalmist recalls. As they're coming out of Egypt, the Bible said, He, the Lord, spread a cloud for a covering, and fire to give light in the night. This verse is a reference to that we know as the pillar of cloud and fire that not only led Israel out of Egypt, but led them through their wilderness journey. Amen. There's a journey. There's a journey that they're on. It was not just the will of God to get them out of Egypt, but to bring them to Canaan's land. And they don't know the way. They don't know how to get there. Or, amen, they don't know the way like God knows the way. There may have been a more convenient way than the way they went, but they went the way they went because that's the way the cloud and the fire had led them. And so we come to this verse and are immediately reminded of the significance and the importance of this matter of the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Now for a moment, turn back with me to the book of Exodus, chapter number 13, and we'll draw some thoughts here about the Lord forewent them. We draw this out of Exodus chapter number 13 and in verse number 20. Here's the actual recording of the events of Israel's exodus from Egypt. And they're in their journey. Verse 20 said, and they took their journey from Sukkoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And so God is bringing them out of Egypt's land, and to get from Egypt to Canaan, they're going to have to walk through a series of wildernesses. The Bible said in verse number 21, and the Lord went before them, how? By day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. I love verse 22. I'll get there in a moment. It said, he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Notice the Lord went before them. And verse 22 ended saying, from before the people. You see, the cloud and the fire, this pillar that was leading the way, is in particular a manifestation of the presence of God and is leading Israel from where God has just freed them from into that land of promise, that land of blessing, that intended place of their dwelling that God had given to them. Amen. But my friend, it would be the presence of God that would go before them, that forewent them. Amen. That led them all along the way. I want to say tonight as we think about this, that I'm glad in this journey that we're in. Amen. God didn't just come find us and get us started and, amen, do a few little things for us. Said, amen, break some chains and get some things out of our life and then say, well, now I got you started. You go do the best that you can. I'm glad that we have a Savior that, amen, is before us and is leading the way. Amen. I'm glad he's the one who said, amen. Y'all have to forgive me if I repeat some of this. I'm getting ahead of myself. But, amen, he's the one that said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. I'm glad he's with us all the way to the ends of the earth. Amen. To the end of this age and beyond. I'm glad. Amen. We know something of the abiding presence of God. Amen. I hate to think about where I'd be tonight. How many times would I have turned left when I should have gone right had it not been for God leading the way? Amen. How many times had I fallen in a ditch had it not been for God's presence leading the way? How many times, my friend, had I had to turn back? Amen. And gone somewhere God had already brought me out of, had it not been for God leading the way. Amen. In Israel's history, we learn that It was the Lord that forewent them, and it would be the Lord that would lead them all the way through the wilderness. Amen. And so let me say tonight, amen, some things about this pillar of cloud by day and this pillar of fire by night. A picture of the presence of God. Amen. Having forewent them, and as He does for you and I. I would say number one tonight, amen, when we think about the cloud and the fire as is referenced in verse 39, and then in Exodus 13, I would draw your attention to the figures here of God's presence. The figures of God's presence. Listen to what they are. Amen, Brother Bob, it is a cloud by day and a fire by night. A cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. You say, well, preacher, what are you saying? And I understand what I'm about ready to say is not deep. Amen. But here's what I want us to understand tonight. Amen. The Lord going before us, His presence leading the way. Amen. God's presence was easy to identify and to follow no matter the season or time of day of the journey. God was not a mystery to them. God's presence was not invisible to them. Amen. In the day, He gave them a pillar of cloud. Amen. That cloud could have been seen. It's in the daytime. You see the cloud. Amen. When the nighttime settles in, you can't always see the clouds. And so God manifested Himself and the cloud turned into fire. Amen. Ain't you glad tonight? And I understand that sometimes we feel like we can't see God. We can't know God. We are confused about the presence of God. Amen. But I'm here to remind you tonight, amen, that in our journey, God has made His presence, amen, easy to identify and to follow. Amen. I'm glad He's not playing hide and seek with His children. Amen. I'm glad that as He goes along and leads the way before us, amen, that we can know the way that God is leading us. Amen. Know with me that both the cloud and the fire, amen, were manifest, the Bible said, in the form of a pillar. Amen. I like this thought here as we studied this. Amen. A cloud by day, a fire by night, but both are said to be in the form of a pillar. And this word pillar, it means what you think it would, a column, also meaning a stand or a platform, and gives the idea of something both elevated and able to bear up a load. Amen. Let me say that again. A few of y'all, you got it. Amen. Just giving the word pillar, meaning column, stand, or platform. Amen. Representing the presence of God. Amen. Is giving the idea of something both elevated and yet also able to bear up a load. Amen. And so what do we have here? We have Israel getting ready to enter a journey into the wilderness. Amen. They are weak. They are going to feel like they are sinking. There are going to be times their mind and their emotions are going to begin to sink. Amen. Times physically they're not going to understand how they're going to be able to make it. Amen. Friend, may I tell you tonight, amen, without the pillar leading the way, they would not have made it. There'd have been no way that Israel and all the multitudes of tens and even hundreds of thousands, some have estimated several million people. Amen. They would have surely died by, amen, the droves in the wilderness. Amen. But they didn't die away. Amen. Because they had a pillar leading the way. Amen. They had one they could cast their care upon. They, amen, had one that was leading the way faith that was leading them to higher ground and able to bear them up in his own strength and to keep them safe and secure along the way. Amen. I wrote it down this way, that as they followed the presence of God, amen, what they found is they found, amen, higher and solid ground whereby to stand on. When we follow God, listen, when we're following God, amen, he leads us to higher ground. Amen. And when you're following the Lord, as you follow his footsteps, I'm glad that he leaves behind my friend truth and principle and his word. Amen. And his promises that we can stand on. Amen. Randy, open the service tonight. Amen. With the song Standing on the Promises. Amen. I cannot fall. I can't fall standing on. Amen. The presence of the Lord. Amen. And so the Lord in the figure of his presence, amen, is reminding us that, amen, that we can easily identify and follow him, and that in doing so, amen, we'll have solid ground in him to stand on. Amen. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Amen. I noted this in the thought of the presence of God in the pillar of cloud and fire. I see not only the figures of God's presence, but let me take a minute and deal with the fellowship with God's presence. Look with me there in Exodus 13 and verse number 21. The Bible said, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud. And the Bible said to lead them the way, to lead them the way. The Lord may, and obviously the scripture says that the Lord was before them, but here's what I want you to understand. He was always near them. He may be before them, but the indication of this verse is that he is always near them. He doesn't run off and leave them in the dust. Amen. And let them just follow his trail. No. Amen. The idea literally is this. Amen. The Lord is before them. Come with me, Jesse, if you will. We'll make this as least weird as we can. Amen. But the idea is that he's got them step by step, hand in hand. Amen. Step by step, hand in hand. He doesn't run on down the road and say, now you do your best to catch up. Amen. The Lord, the Bible said that he led them. Amen. Step by step. I'm thankful tonight that we have fellowship. Amen. Hand in hand, step by step, with our God through this journey. Amen. He may be before us, and thank God he is. In fact, I can take the entirety of the Word of God and show you. Amen. The Lord is before us. He's behind us. He's beside us. He's for us. He's all around us. He's above us. Amen. David said, if I made my bed in hell, thou art there. He's below us. Amen. You get in the New Testament, and better than all of that, he's within us. Amen. There's nowhere the Lord is not at in regard of every direction we look. Amen. But I'm thankful for his leading in our life. Amen. But his leading is not a distant leading. Amen. He is there to take us by the hand. Amen. And walk us through every valley, every step in the wilderness. And along the way, amen, he may be leading the way, but he's near enough we can fellowship with him along the way. Amen. Amen. Fellowship with the Lord, there's nothing like it. Amen. Notice the faithfulness of God's presence. The Bible said he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Notice he took not away means the Lord never withdrew or rescinded his touch or contact with the people. The Lord was always there. Hey, amen. There may have been times because of different grievances that the Lord that stayed his presence. There may have been times that, amen, Amen. Maybe they were overwhelmed because of this or that, and maybe they felt unworthy. Amen. Of His presence leading the way. But the fact of the matter is, amen, He took not away. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night. Amen. It was always there. He was always there. Amen. When the night got the darkest, He was still there. Amen. When the day got the hottest, He was still there. Amen. When they were everything they were supposed to be, amen, He took not away. Amen. And when they were nothing about what they should have been, amen, He took not away. I'm glad we've got a God. He ain't in the business of taking back. Amen. What He gives, He's not in the business. Amen. Listen, somebody say, oh, if you don't do this or that, amen, God will take your salvation from you. You don't find that in the Scripture. Amen. You couldn't lose it. Amen. God ain't going to take it back. Amen. He is the one that, amen, says that if any man come unto me, I'll in no wise cast him out. You come to Christ and get in Christ, and Christ in you, thank God. Amen. He's a faithful, abiding Savior. That doesn't mean you can't grieve Him. That doesn't mean you can't quench Him. That don't mean, my friend, He won't whoop the daylights out of you. You get off base. Amen. He'll whip you back in line, or He'll take you out of this world. Amen. And you'll be with Him forever. But even in that, amen, is a message of the faithfulness of God. He's a faithful, amen, He's a God in His presence who is faithful to abide. Amen, I thought about this, amen, and faithfulness of His presence by this pillar of cloud and fire. God was faithful to deliver them. He was faithful to direct them. And when you come to Psalm 105 in verse 39, you thought, I forgot about that. He was, it's dealing with God's faithfulness there to, if I can put it this way, to defend them. You say, what do you mean? Notice how the verse reads, and I'm winding down. The Bible said He spread a cloud for a covering. What is He doing? He's being faithful to shield them. Literally, He's before them. But Brother Mike, the indication is in studying the Scripture, and even this verse really seems to drive the point home, amen, that God in His presence in that cloud by day stood between the people and the heat of the sun. Amen. In that wilderness, you could not survive without some sort of shield. They'd have been beat down, sunburned, dehydrated. Amen. They'd have been wiped out. Amen. They'd have been wiped out, and it wouldn't have took long to kill all of them. Amen. Had it not been for the faithfulness of God, amen, to stand between them and what would have zapped them of all their life, of all of their energy, of all of their being, it was God who defended them in their journey. He was faithful to do that. Amen. What about, amen, when the Bible said that he was a fire to give light in the night? In the wilderness, if you've studied any matter of deserts, if you've been out west, I've had the occasion to go to New Mexico and to Arizona, and those are desert wilderness regions even in our own country. And what will blow your mind is how hot it can get in the day. But Jack's been out there hiking and camping. And on the same day where you thought, it is so hot, I cannot bear up under this and have to find you shade, that same night sets in and it'll get so cold you think, I'm going to freeze to death. Amen. What did God do? God knew that. God knew the extremes of the journey, the extremes that they would face even in the course of a 24-hour period of time. Amen. It would not always be comfortable. It would not always be convenient. It would not always be easy. Amen. They'd not always be skipping along the way. Amen. But God was faithful to defend them. Amen. That when they needed a shield, God was there. Amen. When they needed light and they needed warmth and they needed heat. Amen. Because they were growing cold, it was God. Amen. Who was faithful. Amen. To go before them knowing what was coming their way. I say tonight, I'm glad it is the Lord who has foregone me in my journey and is there before me. I've learned one thing in 26 and a half years of being saved, Brother Mike. He has been faithful, faithful, faithful. Amen. The Lord forwent them. Let me say number six quickly, the Lord fulfilled them. Verses 40 and 41, in fact, verse number 40 said, the people asked and he brought quails. I love these next three words, and satisfied them. In the wilderness, God satisfied his children. And only God can do that. Amen. There's a mixed multitude. They couldn't make up their mind if they wanted Egypt or Canaan land. They are all messed up. They're a crowd that somehow got out of Egypt, but Egypt never got out of them. They was never satisfied. In fact, there's the crowd that came to Moses one day, and Brother Maurice, they said, we feel like we're going to die out here eating all this man and quail, man and quail, man and quail. It's always man and quail, and we're tired of it. In fact, they said to Moses, our soul loatheth this light bread. And they made this statement, Brother Larry. They said, we want to go back to Egypt where there was leeks and garlics and onions. There's another crowd said, we don't ever want to go back. Amen. We remember the stripes. Amen. All the leeks and garlics and onions. Hey, wasn't even all that good anyway. Made your breath stink and your body odor come out on you. Somebody say, man. Amen. An awful way to eat and to try to live and make it. Amen. There's a crowd was satisfied. Amen. A crowd that was in tune to the Lord and His blessing. And in their journey, they found their satisfaction in Him. Amen. And so the verse said that He satisfied them. Amen. Meaning to feel the satisfaction and literally gives the implication that one has enough and even more of what one needs. Yes, that God gave them enough and even a little extra than what they needed. Amen. 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 I'm glad tonight I found my fulfillment in my Savior. Amen. It takes a little while sometimes. Amen. Sometimes get your head wrapped up. I know any of us get cold on God and seek after some things of this world. If you're really truly saved, you may run to this world to be fulfilled and satisfied by it, but it'll grieve and vex your soul.
Amen.
Amen. Until you come back to the Lord and realize only He can satisfy what you hunger and thirst for on the inside. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. Amen. You seek after this world, God don't owe you any satisfaction. But He promised, He said, I will. Amen. There's an I will attached. Amen. A promise associated with, amen, finding our fulfillment in the Lord. A lot of things I could say about this. I thought about dealing with the prayers. Verse 40, it all hinged on the people asked. Why ain't you satisfied with the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Maybe you're not asking Him to. You ain't going to find fulfillment spiritually without prayer being a part of your life. Lord, I could preach there. I thought about saying something about the provisions, the quail. He gave them meat. He gave them obviously the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and the waters gushed out. And so there's meat and there's bread and there's water. He gave them everything their soul needed to be able to make it through the journey. lot we could preach there on the provisions, but let me say just a word about the places. I like what the Bible said. Where did he fulfill them? The Bible said, the end of verse 41, look at it. They ran in the dry places. You know where God satisfied and fulfilled them at? It wasn't just in Elam where there was 12 wells of water and 72 palm trees. The Bible said he satisfied them in dry places. That news for you, this Christian life, it ain't always an Elam experience. Amen. Sometimes there's dry places, but you know what I've learned? God will satisfy and fulfill you even in the dry places.
Amen.
Lord, we could preach there. The Lord fulfilled them. Last of all, in this Psalm, verse 42 and 44, the Lord furthered them. He furthered them. He didn't just bring them out of the Ur, the Chaldees, and then into Egypt, and then out of Egypt, and then through the wilderness. But he brought them all the way to the land of Canaan. Amen. Verse 44 said, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people. The land that God had promised Abraham, everywhere the sole of your foot treads, I'm going to give it to you and your seed after you. God led them and furthered them. Amen. I'm thankful the Lord's always furthering his people. Amen. So I've been saved long enough, preacher, I have reached the furthest part of the Christian life. You're a moron. Amen. That's probably the nicest way I could put that. Ain't nobody here tonight reached the furthest place and the furthest pinnacle of what it is to be a Christian and living the Christian life. Amen. But God is always leading us on and leading us on and leading us on. One of these days, old songwriter said, farther on, still go farther. Count the milestones one by one. Jesus will forsake you never. It gets better farther on, and it does get better. It doesn't get worse the longer you're saved. It gets better. Oh, I know I ain't screaming and jumping pews. I'm running out of steam, but I'm a preaching right now. It gets better and better. The longer you're saved, the sweeter he gets.
Amen.
The longer you're saved and the further he carries you, amen, you find out there is a Canaan land experience. The Christian life is greater than you could have even imagined it, even in the split moment when God saved you and you felt like all of heaven came down and flooded your soul. And you may have gone through battles and been tested and climbed mountains and crossed valleys and been through storms. But you can say the longer you're saved, it is God that has led me to where I am and into the place I am. And it is better today than it's ever been in my life. Amen. God can do that. God can do that. I thought about in verse 42, they're reaping. You know that they was able to get to Canaan, not necessarily because of what they were, but because they were reaping Abraham's walk with God. I know we got to be real careful here. Amen. We don't necessarily believe in, we don't believe at all in perpetual household salvation. Everybody's got to get saved on their own and establish their own walk with God. But I do believe in generational blessings that you can be reaping. And I believe, and I've told y'all before, I believe without a shadow of a doubt, I'm a product not of me being a great Christian. I'm trying to let God work in my life personally and learn what it is. There's a lot of things in my life I'm a reaping because Lige Ledbetter loved God and walked with God, and God gave him some promises and answered some of his prayers, and I'm a walking in the benefits and blessings, reaping those things that somebody else sowed into my life.
Amen.
Amen. So I ain't got nobody like that for me and my. Then make sure you're that one that down the road somebody else is reaping. Amen. Reaping. Amen. When you're dead and gone.
Amen.
Oh boy, that'll preach right there. The reaping. I thought about their rejoicing. As God took them further, they did it with joy and with gladness. Amen. I'll be honest. We just talking. I'm done. We got to go. But I've been amazed, and I've always been around church, so I know what independent fundamental Baptists are. I'm not just talking about my saved life. And that blows my mind since I've been saved. But even before I got saved, I always noticed that there was a crowd of people that had been saved so long, they looked like they were miserable. That ain't the will of God. So you don't know what I've been through. I don't care what you've been through. Longer you're saved, the further God takes you, it is to be with joy and with gladness. Amen. You got to be careful. How you doing? Oh, I'm telling you, it's so bad. But I'm talking about people say they've been saved a long, 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 long time. They get done, Brother Jack. And I don't know if I want to go jump off a bridge, hang from a short rope or what. Man, if it's just going to get like that, and then you meet somebody along the way, been saved a lot of years, and you get around and you say, how's it going? Boy, let me tell you, God has been so good. They don't give that, well, you know, we're just barely making it and all. No, they say God's been good and God's been faithful. So, oh, that's just a put on. Oh, that's a put on. I don't think it's a put on if you're a spiritual person. Amen. They're rejoicing, their reward. God let them have things they didn't even labor for. God just dumped it in their lap. Let them. They went into Canaan land, Brother Larry, when they went into Canaan land, they plucked ears of corn they did not plant. They took grapes to the wine press they did not tend to. Amen. They dwelled in houses they did not build. Amen. So what he's saying, that was their reward for their journey. And I'm glad we've got a Savior who rewards us along the way. Amen. Why did God do all this? Why did he find them? Why did he fence them? Why did he favor them? Why did he free them? Why did he fulfill them and further them? Verse 45, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. God did all this for his people with just one expectation. Observe and keep my law. Why does God do what he does? Why is his hand at work in our life? What is it God expects out of us? Get in my book, find out what I said, and get after it. I've been doing this. Somebody asked me how long I've been preaching the other day. It's been 26 years I've been preaching. This Ronnie asked me. Just last night asked me how long I've been preaching. 26 years. 26 years of preaching. Amen. You can preach that book to some people and it's so grievous to them. Amen. So grievous. I got to live that way. Then you can preach the same message, same truth, same law, same standard to other people. And they go, that ain't too much to expect. That ain't too much to live. Look what God's done for me. That's the least I can do. That's the attitude God wants us to have when we consider his hand in our life. There's nothing God has asked or commanded us to do in that book that we ought to stove up on. Amen. Amen. What if God said, okay, if you ain't going to do that, then I'm going to take back the day I found you. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? What if he said, I ain't going to fence you no more. I ain't going to fulfill you. I'm not going to free you from nothing. I'm not going to. Boy, I tell you, we'd be in bad shape when the sun come up in the morning. Amen. But God's been good to us. The least we can do, get in that book. Say, yes, sir, Lord, I'll do what you told me to do. And if you love the Lord, you'd do it with a smile on your face. Amen. Amen.